Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Hey Amud Beis, the very last line, where it's the Ikar de Amre, really in the middle a little bit, so we'll just remind ourselves again. The Gemara asked, if someone is going to take achrayos, exactly what that meant, to Shiloh, but lemais, let's just assume, you take responsibility for getting lost or stolen from the goy, and it's in your house, then you're going to be chayav for it on Pesach. And the Gemara discussed that this is a Shiloh within the man de Amr about davar agoron l'mamon kemamon dami, that the one who holds that if I take responsibility over something and then ends up getting lost, I have to pay for it, then it's as like I had that item. It's as if I own the item, as if it was my item the whole time. The Gemara asked, what about the other way? The one who holds love, the Gemara answered, so now the Gemara is giving an ikar d'amri, an opposite exchange. How did this go about? So the Gemara says, "Hani chaleman demar dover agorim the mamon lav ki mamon dami." The other way around. That I understand that this pasuk works. That this makes sense. This halacha makes sense. That you say, if you say that something that causes money, that causes you to pay money, is not like it's the money itself. So then, turning on to the next Amma now, in Vav Amar Aleph, Hainu de'itrich lo yimatze. That's why we need the Pasuk that's telling you, lo yimatze, that you need the Pasuk specifically, but according to Rashi, again, generally we're assuming that something that can only cause a monetary payment is not itself considered money. However, the Pasuk is going out of way to tell you, in this case, Gufa only specifically, by Chametz, by Pesach, is going to be the Halacha. However, the Gemara says, El leman da'amar kemamon dami. But according to the one who says that it is considered money, then lo yimatze lamali. Why do I need the Pasuk that says it shouldn't be found? Obviously, it's going to be if you lost it and you have responsibility over it, it's going to be like the Jew owned it. You don't even need a pasuk. So the Gemara says itzrich. No, even according to this mandamar, I need it because sagat kamina hoyal v'chiyese harder be'ene. You would have thought that since that when you take the item out, it's going to be returned to the owner as is, meaning you give it back, let's say, in a situation where it was not lost or stolen. So you didn't do anything wrong. Then I would have thought, Laber Shusakai, that shows that Mefreya, that it was never in possession of the Jew at all. So Kamashman, the Pasuk is telling you that the Jew is going to be chayav for it, even in the situation where you could return it. That still shows you, since you have the achrayas, since I've taken myself to that responsibility that I could potentially have to pay for it, in which case it would be like it's mine, then that's considered as if it's a problem over here, and therefore I'm going to have to pay it back. That's what we learn from this Gemara. Okay, Gemara continues now. Boy, my name is Rava. They asked a question of Rava related to a once from the topic of a Jew having property of a non-Jew. So what about over here? Similar halacha about a Jew having property of a non-Jew and exactly how that works. And so Gemara says, behemoth arnona. What about if you have an animal that you have to pay? Arnona, we know in Eretz Yisrael. Are quite familiar with Arnona. Arnona is the property tax you have to pay. So that's the lashon of the year, is taxes. If you have to pay, it's apparently Julius Caesar was the first one to be talking in Arnona. That was the lashon that comes from Latin, I think. This is the lashon of Arnona. Either way, so that you have to pay a royal tax. You have to pay a tax he would collect, according to Rashi, he would take one out of every 10 newborns, basically 10%, and also of produce as well. If you take 10% of your produce, 10% of your animals, that's your tax that you have to pay. So chayaves b'bechora o ein chayaves b'bechora. Is it going to be subject to halacha of bechora or not? What's the shaila over here? Rashi points out, we learned, the kaimalan, that anytime there's a nachri who has shaychus to a partnership, you have a partnership with a nachri in the animal, you're not going to be chayav in bechor. Now bechor is the firstborn animal which is given to the kohen, and it's hektish, it's brought in as a korban. If there is a mum, if there's a blemish, then it is not brought. That's a whole masechta bechoros deals with this. What is blemish, what's not a blemish is, and also what do you do if it develops, if it's not a blemish, it's the mumun of the kohen, and if it develops a blemish, then the kohen doesn't have to bring it to the base of Mikdash, it's all fully his. That's why the Gemara discusses, Mishnah discusses, that the kohanim were nechshad, we were afraid that the kohanim would in fact put a blemish on purpose. That's why they're not neman ol sugyos in bechoros. But either way, for our purposes over here, it is only if it's owned by a Jew. If a goy has possession of it also, Rashi quotes the pasuk, li kol bechor bi Yisrael. So if it's only from Yisrael, if it's part of it, if a non-Jew has it, then it is not going to be subject to the din of, you're not going to have the din of a giving a bechor. So the Gemara now says, is the firstborn animal going to be chayev or not? Because what's the shaila? So Gemara qualifies it. Gemara says, kol hecha dematzi misalek lebezuze lo kami baylan dechayev. Where the Jewish owner is able to pay off the king instead and say, okay, this is worth $100, I'll give you $100 instead, then you for sure assume that he doesn't have an ownership in the animals because it's not like a partnership with him because you can get him out. That's not a shaila at all. Because at the end of the day, he's not zoche in it, and then you can, since you can pay him off, you can say that he's never gonna pay it, you're gonna pay him the mamon, and he's not considered a shutaf with the animals. That's what Rashi points out. However, I'm wondering my questions, Is heichad lo betalik lebezuzay? In a case, my, what's going to be the halacha where the Jew cannot be, meaning it's a fixed rule. You have to give 1/10 of your animals to the non-Jew. Even though, again, we're not, he's not saying which one he's going to take, but the fact that he has a partnership in 1/10 of them, it's maybe like as if he has 10% of each animal. There's one, right? As opposed to saying he has one full animal, you could say he has 10% of each animal. Then what's going to be the halacha? So the Gemara answers, Amar Lehup, Rava explained to them, he said that it's going to be parted from Bechor, it's not going to be Chayav. The Gemara says, wait a second, we have a braisa that contradicts you, Rava. Vahatanya Chayav, if the braisa says explicitly the opposite, that it is Chayav to the lachas of Bechor. So the Gemara says, no, Hasam, Dematzimetzalik, it must be that case, which where Rava answered that case of the braisa is referring to the one where he is able to pay off the goy instead of having a fixed rule that he has to give him one of his animals. So now the Gemara gives an Ikka d'Amrei, another version of what went down over here. Amar Rava, Rava says, an animal that is again a tax animal is going to be exempt from a bechor. Even though the Jew is able to pay him off. Why? So the Gemara is going to discuss. We'll see why in a second. Isas are not in this version. Isas are not a chayavas bechala. However, if you are going to have a dough, we know that dough only Rashi says ariso sechem ksiv, and only your dough. Then if it's not your dough, then you're not going to be chayav. So if the non Jew has a partnership in your chala, you don't have to give. You don't take off chala. We know chala is the first portion given to the kohen. We give chala nowadays. We take off the chala. We don't give it to the kohen because we don't know the kohanim are etc. So ve'alfagav delo. Again, in this version, in this army, we're saying behemoths are known as always term in a korban, even though you can pay him off. However, when it comes to chala, it's going to be chayav avagav de matzah mitzalek. Even though you can pay him off, you are going to be chayav. So the Gemara asks, what at the end of the day is the difference? My time, what's the reasoning that we make this chiluk between the two? So the Gemara says, because behema is like chala, because an animal, you know about it. That since the non-Jew for sure knows about it, then you're going to be chayav. However, isa leis like chala, you don't know about it necessarily. So, according to this, the way they understand in Rashi, the Rashash points this out, that the way they understand is that according to the Areisa, we have to assume that the dough is pater michala. And the dough is also, and the animal is pater because he has the shutfus with it. However, when it comes to the dough that the Rashash points out, maybe that people are going to think that the owner is having his dough without challah. So to avoid this, the gzira d'rabbanan, that the challah should be taken off in all circumstances. That really means the raisa both are pater. The second case, we don't have a gzira d'rabbanan because there's a kol. Everyone knows that the non-Jew has the shutfus with it. So no one has a havamina to think that you did anything wrong. However, when it comes to the isa, when it comes to the dough, we're afraid that people are going to look at you and say, wait, this guy's not having kosher bread over here. He's having tevel. So then we make you take off the challah. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to analyzing a goy's chametz. Tana Rabbana, nachri shenichnas lechatzer shel Yisrael, ubeteko biyado, ein zakek levayer. So if a goy enters your chatzer, your courtyard, with the dough in his hand, then you're not obligated to get rid of it. Meaning that we're assuming over here that we don't need to ask the goy to leave the house. We don't have to ask the goy to leave the house. That's going to be what we learned out before. We saw on Hayamid Beis that seeing lecha ataroe shalcha ataroe avatara shalachem and of a goy that you're allowed to see a goy. So you don't have to tell him to leave. So that's the Gemara saying. And as Zakalivar, we don't have to tell him to leave the house. The Gemara continues now. Hefkido etzlo. So now, if the goy left it by you and you accepted responsibility, then Zakalivar, you have to get rid of it. So yichel abayas. However, if the Jew decided to designate a specific room and area for the chametz, then in Zakuk Levar, you're not obligated to remove it. Shneimar lo yimatzeh, because it's stated it should not be found, and it's not you. If you're miyachad emakum, that's not considered an area which is going to be found, and therefore it's not a problem. So the Gemara asks, my Kamar, what's the Braitza saying? Meaning, why does it say a pasuk that says loy matzeh, which is seemingly telling us that one is not obligated to get rid of it? It's that loy matzeh sounds like it should be more machmir. So the Gemara says, here is what's going on. Amar Papa, the pasuk of loy matzeh is going the following. Areshakai, the pasuk of loy matzeh is going on the resha, which is telling us, v'achik amar, this is what the Braitza is telling us, hefkido etzlo, if the goy got rid of the chametz, zokuk levar, shenemar loy matzeh. That's the pasuk, it's the chumrah. Because Lamatza says it doesn't found anywhere. So if you left it with you, you accept the responsibility, even though it's not really yours, like we saw before. So then you still have to get rid of it because Lamatza, it's found in your possession. That's what the Bryce is telling you now. And the Gemara says another way of explaining it. Rav Ashi, I'm going to know. You could explain second that lo yimatza is going on the second halacha, which is telling you that if you put it in a different place the goy, then you're not chayav to get rid of it. So the Gemara says, how does that? Because yichel labayis in zakvar shenemar lo yimatza bebas seichem. It should not be found in your homes. It should not be found in your words. The matza is available. That can mean that it's available over here, and that therefore it's implying that the chametz must be available to the person. This is not available to you because you put it away for the goy in a different location. So the Gemara says, v'ha lav the day who, but at the end of the day, the chametz. At the end of the day, it's not considered yours, and therefore, when the goy comes to take the chametz, it's really his own house. It's this area that you're miyachet for him is considered his makom, not your makom, and therefore, he's considered as if bringing it into his own property without the Jew accepting any responsibility for it. So the Gemara now says, wait a second, though. What do we see from here? That if the goy is like renting out this small area from you, that sounds like that schirus is going to be kone. Lamimra de schirus kone. This sounds like a rental agreement has the ability to affect halachic acquisition of the rented property. The Gemara says, is that really true, though? That's none. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah tells us seemingly the opposite. Af makom shamr lahaskir. So even in a place where the Chametz said it's mutter to rent a house to someone who worships Avodah Zarah, so the Gemara says, lo lebeis dira amru. They did not say this for a place where he's planning on living. Because the goy is assumed to bring in Avodah Zarah. So what? There's a pasuk in the Torah that tells you, it's also midaraisa that if a goy to bring, obviously you're not a avodah zarah, but he's bringing his avodah zarah into your house. Since he's bringing it into your house, that's a yeser for you to let him bring in the statue, whatever it is, whatever avodah zarah he's bringing. So the Gemara says, wait a second though, if we're assuming isakadai that's the schiros konya, if we assume that rental is a full effective acquisition to acquire something, then what's the difference? Then if the goy is renting kikamayel, the basis of nashi kamayel at the end of the day. When he's renting from you, what is he doing? He's bringing in the property into his own house. He's not bringing the property anywhere else. He's bringing the property into his own house, in which case we would be assuming that it's not your problem whatsoever. If a rental agreement is like it's his, so then it should be like it's his, and there's no shaila for you. Let him do whatever he wants to the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, really, you're right. A rental agreement is not affecting halachic acquisition. Over here, though, there's a difference. Shaini Acha, the Afkir Rachmana Beratzam Lo Yimatze. The Afkir Rachmana Lo Yimatze. The Lashon of the Torah specifically uses Lashon. It shouldn't be found. That implies something, the Chametz, which is found in your hand. Therefore, this is getting rid of the Chametz, which is not found in your hand, which is why, if it's not really with you, that's why it's okay. That's what Lamaisa, we don't really do this exact thing, but Lamaisa in the Mechiras Chametz, that's why you're supposed to be putting it away, nowhere to be found, and be miyachin and makom for it based on this Gemara is part of the reason that we do that. Why that it should be in a specific area? Because it's as if he's going to be renting that area from you, and then even though we see that schiris isn't fully kone, but it's enough to say that the chametz is not yours when you sell the chametz. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Avud Amar Rava, Motzi chametz beveso beyomtiv. Let's say this happens. Let's say you find chametz in your house on yomtiv. So what do you do? Kofil lev azakli, you should turn over a pot and turn over the pot and put it over it so you don't mistakenly come to eat it here. So now why? Is there not an issue of keeping the chametz there? You're going to violate a bayra because we're assuming right now that you did bittel. So at that point, we're just afraid that you're not going to come to eat it. So why don't you take it out right now and get rid of it? Because we're assuming the chametz is mukta right now. Has no use. The halacha is something that's mukta. You're not allowed to move. If it's mukta, machmas gufo, we're machmer even to move it. We don't allow you to move it. So since it's mukta, we don't allow you to move it. Okay. So then you get rid of it. Then the whole shayla on yom, and then after that you would burn it on chol hamoed. Then you go and burn that chametz. Lemaisa is just a shayla nowadays. People aren't so aware of this. Just to point out, it's not as pashut nowadays because we sell in addition to all the chametz, specifically on the form that we sell the chametz that we know and we don't know about. So if we're selling it to the goy, it might not be yours to get rid of. Lemaisa, you put it away for sure because you don't want to come to eat it. But I'm saying in terms of burning it, it's a shayla whether that's the right thing. Everyone asks the rav in that situation. If you do chas v'shalom find some chametz on Pesach, lemaisa nowadays with the way we sell it is a shayla what to do. The Gemara continues. The Gemara qualifies as amarava. However, if the chametz that you found in your house is of hektish, then in a tzarech, you don't even need to put the pot over it, because why not? You're not going to come to eat it. My time, Mivdal Bedilin, everyone's really afraid of hektish. Everyone's afraid of something that they dedicated to base of hektish, whatever it might be, hektish, or machmer with consecrated property. So then for sure, you are going to be machmer not to eat it. You're going to know and very scared of it. You're not going to come to eat it. The Gemara says, if you have chametz of a goy in your house, You should make a mechitza of 10 tefachim high, remind yourself not to eat it. This is obviously done, which is, this is talking about a case where the Jew did not accept responsibility for it, and therefore you're permitted to keep it, Rashi points out. And also, this is done dafka on Erev, the Yantiv. You're not allowed to do it on the Yantiv, Rashi says, because it's Yashar Lakoz Lachora. That would be what would be called making a mechitza materis. We had this in Erevin and Shabbos, that making a mechitza and making a room mutter for you to use is what's called a mechitza materis. We're machmir on that on Shabbos to now allow that. That comes up a few different halachas, lamaisa. Either way, you would only do this on Erev Pesach, and that'd be allowed because, again, you don't have achrayos for this chametz. That's why it's okay in this case. The imshel hektish, however, if the chametz is of hektish, eno tarach, you do not need to do this. Why not? Same reasoning. My time, because people are very afraid and they're careful with a hektish, because it's lamaisa. Also, mivdal b'divlemane. Just to point out one more thing is that it's not just that they're machmir about it. Maybe I should have clarified this before. It's also that people are separating. It literally means that there's mivdal b'divlemane to be separate from it, meaning that you never have hektish throughout the year. Since you're always careful with hektish, not just time that you're scared of it, but since you also know that it's separate from you, and therefore it's something that's it's something that you never have during the year, then you know that you're not going to come to eat it. As opposed to chametz, all year round, I have a delicious pizza, and all of a sudden on the 14th, I can't have pizza anymore. So since it's something that's totally heter and becomes usher, that's not mivdal bidile, that's not separate from you. Besides for the fact that I mentioned that's true also, that hektish is something which is very chamor and we're careful about it, but that's also the point, is that it's separate, that you know it's usher for you, as opposed to chametz, which you're not careful to separate from yourself. Now the Gemara continues. The Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Rav Yudah Amar Rav said, Amar Farish Vayotze B'Shayara. Someone is going out and leaving literally in a caravan, I mean he's going on a trip, a long trip, then, before 30 days, before Pesach, you don't need to get rid of your chametz. However, within 30 days, you would need to get rid of your chametz. So now, what's the difference between before and after the 30 days? So once the month of Pesach is coming, we're going to see the Hamshech, the Gemara is going to tell you that you have a chiyuv. So now, wait a second, aren't you going to be in possession of the chametz? Let's say if it's before 30 days, and I had the chametz there, so I'm going to be owning the chametz. Isn't that a problem? So that is, the Chornim point out, that since the chametz is inaccessible to you, it's going to be similar to what we're going to see, that the Mishnah layer is talking about, if you have chametz that's under Emder Amapolis, under a building that fell, so you're never going to be able to get it. It's a pile of rubble, so what are you going to do with it? You can't get to it. So there, the mice is viewed as mevuar. Still, midarabanan, you still have to do the, in that case, you would still have to do the bittel, but lamaisa, you would not make you do the bedika, we would not make you look after it. So that's why we can have this chilik of shloshim yom, that there would only be a din darabanan, because you wouldn't be over by raya by matzah, even though it's in your house. Lamaisa, that's going to be the shayla over here. The Gemara continues now. Amar Abaye. That which we say, that you have 30 days to get rid of it, that's only if you plan on coming back to your house during Pesach. Even within the 30 days, if you don't plan on coming, so you're leaving like everyone does, the Pesach programs, so you're leaving and you have no one's flying back, the whole house is locked up and the keys are with you in Florida, wherever you're going, and the house is in New York. So you have no chiyuv whatsoever to do the bedik according to Abaye, even within 30 days. So the Gemara says, Rava questions Abaye. Rava says, Amar le Rava, v'idait de lachzor afilam harashana. No, wait a second. No. But according to you that made the chiluk all about when you're coming and when you're not, then the 30 days should be nekel chiluk. If you plan on coming back on Pesach, you're going to be over Bali Rabbi Matzah. If you leave even on Rosh Hashanah, you should have a chiyuv to do the bedika. When you come, the chametz is going to be accessible. You're going to be over Bali Rabbi Matzah on the chametz that was found in your house. So therefore, the time shouldn't matter according to this. So the Gemara says, therefore, Allah Amar Rava, Hadar Makodem. So no, the chiluk of 30 days is a different thing. That which we say that 30 days ain't Tzarech Levar, that before 30 days you don't need to get rid of your chametz, that's only Lo Amran Ela Shein Daito Lachzor. That's if you are not planning on coming back. If you know you're coming back on Pesach, so you have a house in Israel, and you only come there Pesach, so even if you only go Sukkot and Pesach time to Israel, so even on Sukkot you'd have to do the beer, you'd have to get rid of all the chametz that's in your apartment. Because you know you're planning on coming back on Pesach, it doesn't matter when you're leaving, that's what Rava holds. So that's a very big shiloh over here. Of Yosef Engel is a very interesting chakira. So again, what comes out is that if you have the chametz over there, it sounds like Abaye, for whatever reason, isn't so bothered by that. So, the Yosef Engel wants to make a chakira. He thinks that the machlokas Abaye and Rava is, how much does a person have to prepare in order to do a mitzvah? Is there a chiyuv? You have to do lulav and esrog. Do I have a chiyuv to prepare and make sure that I have the lulav and esrog? We discussed this about Yehudim and Basir not doing aliyah l'regel. That's the machronim, we've discussed that before. Lamaisa, He thinks that maybe this is the machlokas abayi of Rava. Rava says, of course you have a chiyuv to prepare whatever mitzvah you have to do, and you have to do it well in advance of the mitzvah, as opposed to abayi, maybe you don't necessarily have to do that. Now the Gemara continues that as the Rava, the time and Rava was l'shitaso, he followed his own reasoning. As we see, Damar Rava, Rava says, osa beso otsar, if someone makes his house a storehouse, meaning Rashi says, he fills his house with produce, and then on the top of it, you're going to have the chametz underneath it, and then on top you're going to have produce. So you got, the chametz is never not accessible to you. So if you decided to do this, if you decided to do this before 30 days, you wouldn't be obligated to get rid of the chametz because you're never going down there and it's going to be covered and you'll do the bittul. And therefore, you don't have to get rid of the chametz on the bottom. However, and within 30 days, though, you would have to get rid of the chametz on the bottom, take it out, and then only then use the storehouse, whatever you're planning on storing there, apples, oranges, whatever you plan on putting there. The kodem shloshim yom nami, and also this leniency about 30 days is also lomran ela shein daitu lifnosav al daitu lifnosav filakom shloshim yom nami zakuk levayr, that at the end of the day, this halacha is only within, before, is only if you did it after 30 days, but before 30 days, even if you plan on not using it at all, you would still have a chiyuv to get rid of it. So the Gemara asks now, so why is this a magical number of 30 days? At the end of the day, we've just established that you're not going to be over it if I don't see it on Pesach. If I don't see it on Pesach, no one says that I'm going to be over by or by matzah. It's all gzera d'rabbanan. So at the end of the day, why does this 30 days, why is this like the magical number that within 30 days, I have a chiyuv to get rid of it or not? L'maisa, I'm not going to see this Pesach, this chametz on Pesach. It's in the storehouse that I'm locking up the key, no one's going there. So why do I have a chiyuv to do the bedika or not? What's this 30 days? So the Gemara says, Hani shloshim mavidasai. What's the point, purpose of the 30 days? Kidisanya, because of the Braisa, we say, sholem v'dorshim v'ilchas ha-Pesach, kodam Pesach shloshim yom. Because we start to learn the halachas of Pesach 30 days before Pesach in order to familiarize ourselves with the halachas, so therefore you have a chiyuv to do at this point, since the halachas of Pesach you're familiar with, you know the halachas, so you have a chiyuv already then to do the bidika, to do the biur and get rid of it. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says Shtei Shabbos is going to learn 2 weeks is going to be enough according to Rabban Gamliel. So we're following the Tanakhama. Rava is following the Tanakhama that says you have 30 days, and that's the big number. So it's just a very big thing about why is this halacha of Sholim B'Dorshim B'Lachos Pesach Kodah Pesach Shoshim Yom? It seems to be a takana derabanan. The Beis Yosef have a famous question. He says, what do you mean? We learn in the Gemara Megillah tells us that Moshe was misakin the Hilchos Chag B'Chag Hilchos, right? Atzeres Pesach, that you learn all the halachas on each yantiv and Pesach by Pesach. Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin only on the day of. So why do we have a chiv over here of 30 days? So Beis Yosef says, no, there's two different things. That really, Sholim B'Dorshim is really the halacha of a kedima. If you go ask your Rav a shaila and your friend asks your Rav a shaila, if you're within 30 days of Pesach, then his shaila should come, then the shaila about Pesach comes first. The Sholem Adorshim means that the Rav is a chiyuv to make sure that everyone is osik in those halachas, so you know Hilchas Pesach. That, as opposed to Hilchas Chag B'Chag is the halacha and everyone has the chiyuv to learn Hilchas Chag B'Chag. He gives different terutzim, but there's a famous shaila from the Beis Yosef. So now the Gemara continues, the Gemara asks, my Tama de Tanakama, what's the reasoning for the Tanakama that you have 30 days? Why do you have 30 days before? Sharei Moshe omed Pesach Rishon, because Moshe was discussing Pesach Rishon u'mazal Pesach Shini p'sukim in Bahalosra, and that the Jews weren't able to bring the Shenemar. The pasuk says Vayasub Bnei Yisrael Pasach. It's a shaila which pasuk exactly we're using. The girsa that we have is Vayasub Bnei Yisrael Pasach b'Moado, that they did it on their day, and then there was people who were tameim uchzivayi anashim asher tameim lenefesh adam, and there are people who were tamei, and they asked, can we do Pesach? And he said, no, but you could do Pesach Shini. So we see that he told them a Pesach Shini, which is exactly in 1 month from now. And then he told them all the halachas of Hilchos Pesach Sheni. So we see that there's a chiyuv to learn halachas of Pesach 30 days before Pesach. So now the Gemara continues. Like says, Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's going to say, "I did the Ayri b'Milay de Pischa." Once Moshe was discussing the topic of Pesach, Masik lehu lechol Milay de Pischa. He decided to just finish off, meaning he said, "No, you can't do Pesach now. You should do Pesach Sheni." And then it just, "Oh, once I'm on the topic of Pesach Sheni, let me just finish off the halachas." But that wasn't the chiyuv to do it. Again, this is strengthening Beis Yosef Kasha, because over here it's telling you Psukia that Moshe was the one who had this takana. Yet the Megillah tells us that the takana was from on the day of, not 30 days before. Okay, that's what the Gemara talks about in Tanakhama. Now, what is the reasoning of Rav Gamliel? The Gemara says, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, what's he going to say? My time is the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Gemara says, Shari Moshe Omed Rosh Chodesh. Moshe, this is going back to the very first Pesach we had in Yitzias Mitzrayim. U'mazia Pesach, and when Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh, and then from there he tells them all of the halachas of Pesach. Shnei Mar Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh. Hashem Mechsiv Dabru El Bnei Yisrael Leimar Be'Esar Lachodesh Hazeh Veklem Ish Shela Veisav Osh Shela Bayis. And we see over here the halachas of Pesach were required from over there. There's a shiloh though. At the end of the day, this was talking about really from the 10th of Nisan, they had other chiyuvim there, right? From the 10th of Nisan, they have a chiyuv to take the korban and watch it for the 4 days until the bikur for 4 days until the korban pesach was to be brought. So maybe you should only learn 10 days according to Rabban Gamliel. What do you learn that it's 14? That's a shiloh and achron. I'm not going to get into the terutzim. Interesting shiloh. The Gemara now asks. The Gemara says, "But my dear Rosh Yarchak, wait a second. How do I never know that Rosh was telling them on Rosh Chodesh of the lacha? He was just saying that this is the first month. Maybe he told them. Maybe the fourth or fifth of the month of Nisan. How do I know b'chlal? This is talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Gemara therefore says, Ela Maraba Bar Shimi Mishmei Ravina Mehacha. It's from the following pasuk. Vayeda Bir Hashem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai B'Shnas Shnei B'Chodesh Rishon. The pasuk in Bavloscha as well. The second year, the first of the. In Bamidbar. I think it is Bavloscha. So the Gemara, the pasuk over there says, Uchsev Yasu B'Nei Sal Pesach B'Mado. Yeah, over there, the pasuk is reference to Bavloscha over there. They did it 2 weeks later. That we were the pasuk was talking about. Hashem spoke to them in the second year. And in the first of the month, and therefore we did the Pesach 14 days later. The Gemara says, we can say the same thing. He just talked to them in the first month. Maybe it was in the fourth or the fifth of that month, not 2 weeks before. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Aisa Midbar Midbar, that we learn how Gzeirah Sheva Midbar Midbar. Ksiv Acha Bibibar Sinai, we learn in Bamidbar, the very beginning says Bamidbar Sinai. Ksiv Asa Meidar Ber Hashem Al Moshe Bibibar Sinai Be'al Moed Be'echad L'Chodesh Hashini. That the Parshas Bamidbar starts in the second month, in Iyar. The first of Iyar, that's when we have the Parshas Bamidbar. And over there, so there we're talking about Rosh Chodesh of Iyar. And here, we must be talking about Be'alan Rosh Chodesh. So there, we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So to over here, Rosh Chodesh will be Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So now coming on to that, so the Gemara asks a question. Wait a second. So Parshas Bamidbar, that's the first Parsha of Sefer Bamidbar, was in Iyar. And yet the pasuk in Baloscha, which is 9 prakim later, is going to be in the month of Nisan, which is the first month. That's a month before. So the Gemara asks, "V'nichto b'risha dechodesh rishon v'adonichto dechodesh sheni." So why doesn't Parshas Baloscha come before Parshas Bamidbar? So the Gemara says, "Because Amar Menashe b'tchliva m'shem derab, because this is teaching you a chiddush. Zos omeres ein mukta me'ucher b'Torah. This is teaching us that the Torah is not written in chronological order. It's an important thing. That's why there's always machloksim in the Mefarshim of Rashi and the Ramban about different things of Korach. When did Korach happen? When did Meraglim happen? When did the Mishkan happen? All of those things, because the Torah was never makbid. It's not a history book. We're not writing chronological order. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us specifically, for whatever reason, in the order that He gives us. That's why we're always Dorish, why it was written in those type of things, if it was out of chronological order. But the Torah is not written in chronological order. So the Gemara says, but this should be noted that that's with two inyana. What does two inyanas mean? Rashi says two different parshios. That seems to be what's in Yana. Others explain, Rabbi Nachman seems to explain it's more of like a topic. That if you're discussing, let's say, Pesach Sheni, that whole Pesach Sheni can be assumed that happened at one point. So Gemara Bechad in Yana, but when it comes to one Parsha in the Torah, then Ma'at Mukta, not literally a Parsha. A Parsha is like a Pesuch and a Stum, not what we call a Parsha. It could be less, like a 10 Pesuchim could be a Parsha. So that Ma'at Mukta, Mukta, Ma'at Mukta, within that Parsha, you can assume it's going to be in the order that it is written, because if you're not going to say this, Klalot Prat, the lachas of Klalot Prat, when you have something, the Torah goes out of its way to say a general rule, and then it specifies that rule. So then we learn, in Bechal Ela Mashavar Prat, that the lacha is going to be that the generalization, the generation of that rule is going to have nothing more than the actual thing that's of the Prat, of the specific halacha. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, how are you allowed to be Dorish that? Maybe Dilma Prat Uklala, maybe this is actually going to be the opposite of halacha, where you have something is in a specific rule, and then the Torah goes out of its way to learn out a generalization. Again, all these Klalot Prat, we say every day in Mishmaz, because I don't know exactly what's going on. We aim to Klal Ela Mashavar Prat, Mashavar Prat, all these halachas, it depends what order it's written in. So how am I ever to be able to Dorish what the order is written in if I don't know if this was in chronological order? And also further, we could say Pradu Klal. Wait, we say Ein B'Parat Mashu B'Klal. I think that's what we say by Klal. If you have something specific, and then the Torah goes out of way to generalize it in the same Hamshech of those Psukim, then Nasa Klal Musaf Al Prat. The halacha is that the Klal, the generalization is considered, that's not going to be just on this halacha, it's going to be on multiple halachas. The Gemara says, well, how do you know they'll say that also? Dilma Klalot Prat, maybe this other way around, that it's going to be first the generalization in the Torah, and then we're going out of the way to mention something specific. So since you're not able, you'll never be able to learn a Klalot Prat, the whole concept of Klalot Prat, or a Klal and then a Prat, or Klalot Prat, all of those things are never able to be Dorish unless you assume that the Torah is written in chronological order for the same parsha that we're discussing. So Gemara says that that must be happening. So now, Important to note, by the way, that this halacha about the Torah in order, that's the Ravan says a famous idea that when it comes to Dvarim, the Gemara learns out that a kol dorish muchen, everyone says there are a lot of be dorish psukim that are written next to each other. So yes, why should that be? At the end of the day, maybe it's written out of order, even if they're partios written, they're different partios, we still adorish them. So the Ravan gives a famous idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wrote, he was the one who commissioned to write the Sefer Dvarim with the Haskam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he had everything in a clear order. Shef Kalei says a lot also. He had a clear order, therefore everyone's saying that we're dorish muchen, that we're a lot of be dorish. Even partios that are written one away from another, as opposed to the first four Sfarim of the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he himself did it without Moshe Rabbeinu whatsoever. So then we have those partios are not written in chronological order. Now then we're asked, but if this is true that your proof should agree within two partios as well, and they were not in Dan and Osim B'chalar Prat Shapir. Wait a second. If this is halacha, then even if things are written far away from each other, then the halacha should be that you're not allowed to be Dorish or Chalar Prat. So Gemara says that's fine according to that shita. But this in fact is a machlokas. Elamanda Amar Danin Ma'ikla Mimra, according to the one who says we can be Dorish. From even if they're written far away from each other, you can be Dorish B'Klal Prat. This is a famous Gemara. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama about this machlokes. So the Gemara says, what is he going to say? So the Gemara says, Ella afilu l'man da'amar danin. Even according to one who says we are allowed to learn how to klal prat from things that are far away, ha'ani mila b'chadi. Now that can only be with one topic. Even if it's written 10 psukim later, you can learn it out. However, if it's one topic, aval betrayin yana, if it's regarding two different topics, even according to them, ain't done, you cannot learn it out because maybe, as we're saying right now, that was really written out of order. In which case, you don't have klal prat. You don't have the whole halacha in the first place. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Avida Marav Habodek Tarech Sheibatel. Even though a person does, if you search for your chametz, you still need to get rid of it. This is Gzeira Derabanan because you still were afraid that you may not find everything, and therefore you have another Gzeira Derabanan. So we're pointing out there's two prong attack to get rid of your chametz. First, we make you do bedika, and also get rid of it and do the bittel. The Gemara says my taima, but what's the reasoning that we make you nullify it also? Why do you have to get rid of it? So again. If we're afraid that, what do you mean? Maybe you forgot some of the chametz in that pashut. So the Rishon explained, the Ran explains that here, if we're assuming that a person is checking his every place, that's a chazaka. We go after chazakas and all the kol Torah kula is based on chazakas. So you would have a chazaka that you've done what's right. So you don't have any chiyuv more than doing that. So the Gemara says, so the inim mishim perim, if we're afraid, you don't have a chazaka on crumbs because he wasn't careful with crumbs. The Gemara says, halo chashive. They're not chashiv at all, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv for them, even if you have them in the house. It seems pretty bearish over here that we see a person does not have to start looking everywhere for little crumbs in order to do the bedika on them. If you, you clearly don't have them in mind, and therefore there's no issue with them whatsoever. And that's what the Magen Avraham quotes, that in a chanami, you don't need to do the BR and get rid of them and start looking for every little crumb that you have in your house. However, the Rush already quotes that Yisrael Kedoshimim, and we're machmer even to get rid of even the little crumbs. Even the little crumbs we're machmer to get rid of. Moshe has a kasha, because we say that Pachos Mikazayas, that Ein Tzarech Levar, however, the Mishnah continues and said, well, you need to be mevatel it. So why don't you mevatel it? It's crumbs. It's nothing on Sheikhas. From Moshe's Achilik, there says it's three dinim of crumbs. If a crumb is chashiv, you might come to eat it, then you have to be careful. Then you're really over the Isser. If there's not crumbs or chashiv, then it's not going to be. So there are different demons. The other way says, you're going to say that since they're chashiv because you're watching them agav your house, so you do care about the crumbs. The Gemara says, that's not true. Atanu, the Braisa tells us, sofei te'enim. If you have someone who has unripened figs, so you don't care about them, because assume that they're hefker, you're only watching your field because of the grapes, then, let's say you have their remaining unripe grapes, they're never going to become good, so you're mafke them, we assume that you're going to make them hefker, and you're guarding your field because of the squash plants and the gourd vines, if the balabais is particular about them, the remaining figs or the grapes, then asur mishum gezel, then they're going to be asur mishum gezel, v'chayav meiser, and they're going to be chayav mitzad meiser. However, in balabais mak if the balabais doesn't care, mitam mishum gezel, then it's all about what he cares about or not, and determine a meister. So what do we see over here? That the person, in the case that we see that over here, that the figs or the grapes, they're being guarded even with the rest of the field, since the guy doesn't care about them, they're still going to be considered hefker. Similarly, we're saying over here, even though the person locks his house to protect his valuables, the worthless crumbs are not going to be chashiv, they're not going to be over there. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Gzira Shemi Matzik Luski Yafi Vadaita Alayat. So we see over here that a person we're afraid is going to come to find a nice roll, and you're going to come to find a nice roll, a nice piece of chametz, and you're going to overlook it during the and you're going to want it, and once you want it, it's going to be significant, and since you didn't immediately get rid of it, during that moment of hesitation, the Miri points out, you're going to be chayav for owning chametz. But once you nullify the chametz, before Pesach, there's no longer be chayav because you already had done the mitzvah of tashbisu. Okay, that is a very big shayla. Mirtz Hashem will pick up the chimish kach levat, but Mirtz Hashem will pick up with there tomorrow.